Hallelujah. Father, we give you all the praise this morning once again. We thank you for the grace that you have granted us, even to see this day. It's a day you've made. Indeed, we rejoice and we are glad in it. Thank you for your word. It comes to us and refreshes our soul in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise, Father. We will not leave here the same way we have come. Thank you for the entrance of your word. It gives light and understanding. We magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 33 says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. Amen. Hallelujah. So the psalmist has seen us and he has combined everybody. Yeah, it says, praise the Lord with harp. Make melody with him with an instrument of 10 strings. Hallelujah. And somebody once said, if you look at your palms of your hand, you have 10 fingers. Hallelujah. So you can make melody with an instrument of your 10 strings. Amen. Hallelujah. And I said, play skillfully with a shout of joy. Amen. And there's no one here that cannot make a shout of joy. Hallelujah. If you remember, amen. If you remember the story of the wall of Jericho, I think I asked the other day, I said, how did the wall come down? And people said it was the shout of hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And I said, ha, ha, ha. Who taught us it was a shout of hallelujah? The wall of Jericho came down with a shout of great joy. Hallelujah. Amen. If you don't believe it, you go to Joshua chapter 6 and you read it when you get home. Amen. There was no hallelujah in the Bible. It was simply shout. And the interesting thing was that it took one man to get that instruction from God. Okay? He sent spies. So it was only the spies that could actually tell what was in Jericho. Okay? So be careful. Listen attentively. It was only those spies that, just like I say, Mr. Sajiri, I'm looking for a place, so I want to rent a house, so go and check and then give me a report. He's the one that will go there. And then he'll see whatever, how beautiful the place is. And then he comes back and tells me, that place is good, it's good. Now, it's dependent on how he can describe that good. Okay? But I should trust that what I've told him is what he has gone to do. And then he comes back and says, this is how good it is. And then we say, okay, we are going. And everybody, I gather the elders and say, we are going to see. Everybody is going to be working dependent on whatever report he has brought. Hallelujah. And that report he brings is what propels you. But the good thing about the story of the wall of Jericho, it was that it was a report from the spies. And then God told Joshua and said, I will give it to you. Amen. So apart from that report, he had another conviction from God that I have given it to you. And he gave him the instructions. He said, you know what? You go around 6 times. And then on the 7th time, the priest, when you hear the sound of a long blast of the trumpet, then the people should shout and then bring down. He didn't tell them the wall will come down. Did he tell them? No, he just said the people should shout. Hallelujah. 3 important things. One, it was for Joshua himself to understand the instruction that he had. The second one was when he was telling the people the instruction, they did not change it. Amen. I can't demonstrate that thing today. You know, so they did not change it. I will leave that one. I don't want to do it now. Because people change instructions. So if I tell Mr. Sajini now, go and tell Kola that Kola should put on the generator, and then after he puts on the generator, he should switch over, blah, blah, blah. Or put water first in the radiator, then check the oil and put on the generator. Now, Mr. Sajiri does not get to tell Kola. Mr. Sajiri tells Sunday. And tells Sunday that Pastor Ewa said that you should tell Tola to go and put on the generator, but you should check water and oil. Now, Sunday goes and tells Temilolu and tells Temilolu and Temilolu, tell Kola to put on the generator, but you should check water. He has removed the oil. And then Temilolu says, this joint is foul. This one, please tell Mr. Kola that Uncle Sunday said, Mr. Sajiri said that Pastor Ewa said that you should put on the generator. That instruction has changed. From the original version to the divine version to the Sundayized version to the Belua, it has changed. And everybody just speaks whatever he thinks he heard. That's why it is important to always reconfirm. So Joshua had the instruction, and he went and he laid it simple. I mean, I love the people in that Old Testament, from Moses all the way down. The Bible said, as God was giving the description of the temple and the description of the garment for the priest, he did not make one single mistake. And I don't think God repeated himself twice. That's one of the reasons why I don't like talking twice. If I tell you instruction once, that's the end. So I tell you, by the time I tell you the second time, you are going to get me very impatient. It's once, because that's how Moses lived. The Bible didn't record that he told Joshua, he didn't tell that Joshua twice, once. And Joshua, did he put it in writing? He took it and then went to the congregation. And that's why when they tell you now is now. You know what now is? It's not a minute time. It's not 5 minutes. Please tell them now. Okay, I've heard. And then he goes to Sunday, and then they keep discussing something. I say, hey, Mr. Emma said that. What I told him was now. He had been distracted. Okay, so now is no longer now. And then by the time he's telling Sunday feels like, what's this one? Mr. Sajid is a lazy man. Can he not just go there? He's not telling the other one by inside. So now it's not becoming 10 minutes and it's becoming 5 minutes. You understand what I'm saying? Eh? The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Now, this is it. No. So sometimes when people want to emphasize the now, there's no need to. But because of the way we understand this, they say no. Meaning that at this instance. And then Joshua took it and told the congregation, this is this simple instruction. Okay? Please let me look for that Joshua 6. Displayed. And then this is a simple instruction. This is not what I'm preaching today. Just say, this is the simple instruction. And he told the people, you go 6 times, then the 7th time, you hear a long blast. There was no confusion in receiving the instruction and in carrying out the instruction. Amen. He says, now the Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands, its king and the mighty men of valor. Please stop. Go back to verse 1. He says, now Jericho was securely shut up. It was tight. No way to go in. And then in verse 2, God says that this thing that is securely shut, I have given it into your hands. It's the king and the mighty men of valor. Okay? You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. So one time, day one, day two, then 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram horns before the ark. But the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Please go back to verse 4. It says, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Verse 5. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast. So he's saying that the priest will blow the trumpet. Then it will come to pass that they will blow a long blast with the ram's horn. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great joy. Hallelujah. And I said the other day that God gave Joshua these instructions. But God didn't tell him when the priest will blow the long blast. What God said was that it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great joy. Okay? So Joshua had that instruction. then the priests have their role to play. Because it will take God to tell the priest that it is time for you to have a long blast and to make that trumpet sound. What God told Joshua was that they should listen for that long blast from the priest's horns, hallelujah, trumpets. But he didn't know when they will play it and how they will play it. But everything will just happen on the seventh day. On that seventh day, they will march around seven times. That's what the Bible says. But in the midst of that marching around seven times, this must happen. And some people must hear this instruction from God. Hallelujah. So if God says now, and the seven priests, one of them is like Mr. Sajeri that we have been discussing with Sunday and say, we are waiting for God to say blast. Did he say blast? And God has already said blast. They will miss that timing of God. That's why it's important that we are not distracted in the things of the spirit and even in the things of the physical. Very important. When an instruction goes forth, you know, they used to play a trick with us when they try to see how well you do with instructions. And they give us paper and write an instruction. They'll tell you that, this is a competition. They tell you it's a competition. And then they'll write, they will give you question papers. Okay? And they will write instructions on the question paper. And the first instruction on the, and they tell you that, you know, they always put the face down. I don't know why they do that thing. Whether, if it's up or down, whether you know it or not, there's nothing will change at that point. Abi, if they put the question paper up like this and you're reading it, anyway, they will be saving you heart attack. Because if you are reading it, it's either you know it or you don't know it. So you are not, it's not any advantage. They say they don't want the first person to see it before the last person. Everybody seeing at the same time. Whether they see it first, or the person that will write. Abi? I can't forget the time I slept up in the exam room. I didn't know Jack. I looked at the question 1, 2, 3, 4. I smiled. I started 1. I stopped. I stopped the first sentence. I looked at 2, 3. I just put my head on the table. I slept. I think I slept for like 10, 15 minutes before the guy came and said, Mr. Saman. I said, God, I don't know it. I don't know it. Amen. So, where was I? My question paper is different. So, they now put the question. They put the questions. And the first instruction, number one, do not write anything. Number two, and then number one is do not write anything. Then, no, it's not number one. Instruction is do not write anything. You know, the way they put those instructions, sometimes it looks like they've put those Bible scriptures that say, he begat this one. So you look at it and say, what is all this that they are writing? Abi? So the instruction was do not write anything. And then they put question 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Some people started from the back, solve question 5, question 6. Then they came to the form, blah, blah, blah. And the instruction was, do not write. Only one person passed the exam. It's not the people that know the answer. It was the person that followed the instruction. The instruction was, do not write anything. So by the time the people that started from the back got to the front and said, do not write, there's no way. They can't change the answer sheet. Be deliberate about the instructions. They are not as uncomfortable as they may seem. The person that gave you that instructions has an end in mind. And the end is dependent on what you can see. Hallelujah. Or what you do with the instructions. Amen. Hallelujah. And I purposely read Psalm 33. Last time Pastor Chima was here, he said, you don't need somebody to wind you to praise God. There's no, you know those toys? Are those toys still available, Seth? Those motor cars that you wind. And then you leave them, and then they start running until they unwind and stop. We don't want to be warned like a motor car. You know, children like those cars, and then they leave them, but they get angry when they stop, and then they go and kick it as you move. It's something to propel you. No, what should propel you should come from your inside. And it's only a spirit man that is filled, and I understand God, that will wake up in the morning and will not be moved by the things he sees around. Except he gets an instruction from God. Hallelujah. Inasmuch as I don't like talking about the conditions, the situation we are in this country, it is important because not everybody will be like me. when I was working 23 years ago when I started work, and they told us in that establishment, we started work, they employed us about 30 of us. And then down the line, after 1.5 years, they said they were going to lay off people. And everybody started panicking, blah, 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 blah. And then people came to me and said, why are you not panicking? No, the panic is they will go and see this person. Is my name on the list? Can he come? They just employed, everybody will be putting justification so that they won't sack them or lay them off. So they came to me and said, why are you not moved? I said, moved by what? They said they will lay off. I said, they can't touch me. I told them they can't touch me. So there's nothing, there's nobody, as far as me, I can sack all of them. His mouth too. They paid me my salary. I have nothing. Then one woman came and said, I don't know how to tell you in English. Maybe grandpa, only, oh, Nero, that means you have nobody. I said, I can't. Because the instruction is for me not to worry about anything. That's 23 years ago. So when we suddenly found ourselves, we moved from Emilokan to Elofokanbale, Abi. You understand what I'm saying? You all understand? Uche, you understand? Francis, you understand? Joma, you understand? Yes or no? Okay, so the slogan for the incoming this administration was Emilokan. You know that one. So by the time they got the ticket, they said their slogan is Elofokanbale. That means be calm. Abi? I have a rest of mind. Elofokanbale. That means it's no shaking. All your problems have been solved. And then all of a sudden, we woke up. And that Ifokanbale became troubled waters for many people. So when this new era came, we had, I think it was four what? I can't even remember. How much was the fuel there? 490 something, maybe. Then, no, we moved from 185 to 490 something. That's that 185. That one has gone to Daura. This one, 488. Then they there 492. Then some people were selling 4. And then all of a sudden we woke up. And God, that morning God was telling me, oh, God told me that morning, if you call my driver, I will tell you. And God told me through my driver. My driver said, hey, sir. He told me, the first day he called me, he said, sir, we need to buy fuel. I said, don't worry. I was calculating that this thing has not reached the day I'm supposed to buy fuel. I'm not buying fuel. So the following morning, he was driving me. He said, sir, let us buy fuel. We went to the first filling station. I looked at the queue. I said, no, I can't be queuing. I said, how much fuel? He said, it's 490 something. I said, no. What's the difference? 4 naira. And we went to the next one. That one was not open. I said, don't worry. We'll buy it in the afternoon. That's how we went home. And then I sat down and I was walking. And I saw, bam. 600. So I knew that God was telling me something. I knew it. And when I left the last station, he said, guy, buy fuel. You never can tell. I'm not even bothered about all that. But do you know that from January to now, God has sustained you? Abi? So people tell us, and then that's how we are. We take everything anyhow. No, we don't take anything anyhow. We take the word of God as it is. I can't tell you how much fuel I've bought in this Elofokanbale period. I can't tell you. It's not that I have all that money, but when I need to buy, God just provides. One day, I'll tell you, it's church, Abi. One day I made a transfer. I was buying something through my bank app. And they did not give me value for the money I sent. I complained. They say, no, the money has reached destination. I said, if this money has reached destination, they will have activated this service. I called the service. They said, no, they didn't see any money, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, no problem. So I went to look for money, and I paid through another channel. And for 2-3 months. So they sent me, the bank now sent me email. That we hope you're happy, you have resolved your issue, blah, blah, blah. I replied, there's nothing to be happy about. You didn't return my money. And I left it. And then, on Wednesday, I just saw a mail in my box. Credit alert. I was smiling. And that Wednesday, I didn't have money. There was no money. Credit alert. I said, who's sending me money? So I checked. I saw the bank. I saw the amount. You see, you know that when somebody owes you money, when you see the alert, you know. I knew immediately it was that money that they refunded. But that's the way God works. At that point, I was looking, where's money going to come from? Huh? So somebody that I said that they have sent the money 2 months, and I didn't have any. In my mind, I just said, well, no problem, God will solve it. The same way, I was just sitting down one day, after how many years? About 5 years. Someone that owed me money sent money. He sent the money, and I wanted to be arguing that the money is not 50,000, it's 40,000. I told my wife, I said, you know what? It's 5 years that this person has owed this money. So if he's arguing about 40, whether it's 40 or 50 or 100, or tell him that it's 5 years and I've long forgotten it. But God says this is not to be forgotten. Man sent it. I'm telling you how God takes care of you in all these situations. Amen. God is wonderful. So this morning, do not let your heart be troubled. Hallelujah. Because some people will choose that it's in this period that their faith will be hard. But know that because you are God's children, you will receive more requests for help with this period than ever before. Mr. Sajari told you this morning. It's not me, it's Mr. Sajari that told you this morning that you should work so that you have enough for you to and to help those that are in need. But this is a period that people, if they have not called you before, don't frown. That why is he calling me? Don't frown. All of us, he said, all of us are we are all of us are in the same issue, we are in the same economy. We are not in the same economy. The economy of heaven is different from the economy of Nigeria. If the resources in heaven cannot be depleted, that's where we come from. Say, where are you from? I'm from Abeokuta. I'm not from Abeokuta. I'm from Zion. Someone was speaking to me in the office. You know, and I think it applies to everybody. The cost of filling your full tank in the Daura era, your full tank in the Daura era is the cost of buying maybe half tank now. Abi? Somebody help me do 60 times 185. Help me. All of you are using calculator. 11,100. So help me do 30 times 568. So it's even more expensive buying half tank now than in the Daura era. But do you know that you are buying it? And other things are still going on. It has to be God. That supply, correct me if I'm wrong, Abudi ni todo, Abi. You know what Abudi ni todo means? I've told you that you cannot be here and not know this language. You know what Abudini Todo means? You don't know. This one past Uche. You know? Mrs. Uche, you know? Why can't you hear me? You see, I say Abudi, Abudini Todo. Do you know the meaning? Rami, do you know the meaning? Ah, daddy. Wala wa. So when you get to the river, So okay, let's not go to the river. Let's go to the kitchen. Thank you. So well, let's first go to the kitchen. If you put your cup and measure rice, you will see that there is an indentation where you pick that rice from. Abi, that bowl, you see that space. But when you go to the river and you scoop water, can you see it? So each time you do that to the river, somehow it fills up. That's what it means. God is our source. He is inexhaustible. I can't remember what the person was telling me in the office. I can't remember. I thought I would remember. I told the person, I said, you know what? No matter the economy of the jungle, the lion cannot eat grass. Amen. If other animals see lion eating grass, what hope do they have? And that's why the words we read today in Acts chapter 24, very important. When you are consistent with the truth will speak for you. Amen. If you know the truth and you are consistent with it, it will come up and come alive for you. So that when you take water from the river, nobody ever thinks that, everybody thinks they're right, that you go to that river and you must get water. It's only when you go to a stream that you know that, you know, when we were growing up, we didn't have water. I didn't grow up where there was water. I used to go to the stream. And there's this leaf, that was big, fat leaf. Once everybody has come to the stream, you know, all of us enter the stream with our leg like this, and then you scatter everything, then it becomes muddy. If you cannot wait for it to settle, you pluck that leaf and put it. And for some, I don't know how it happens. Very soon, on top of that leaf, you collect water, you pour it. But all the children cannot, there's even, where's the streams? Everything, they'll do developer. Oh God. I hope you are getting something this morning. It is not mouth. Amen. It is the word of God. Proverbs 4:23 says, we should guard our hearts with all diligence, because from out of it flows the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. So whatever you allow to enter into your heart is what will come out to play. Amen. If it says, fear not, I am with you always, and then you go and entertain fear. Fear not, I am with you always. So it invariably means that fear and you will not see me. That's what it means. It's not that it's not with you when you are in fear. That fear will be cloud you, and then you will not be able to see him. Amen. And I was telling you that this is not mouth. You know why? So I think it was Setman that said that you have the same number of muscles. So if you look at David, for instance, and look at his arm, and we look at who is the strongest, who has the biggest bicep here? Who has the biggest bicep? Whose bicep is bigger than mine? You. See this, Mr. I don't understand. Me and Mr. Sajiri, who's... Abba, how? Why can Mr. Sajid think that his bicep is bigger than my own? Okay, let's manage him. So, so if you look at David, if you look at Mr. Sajiri, they said anatomically, you have the same number of muscles in your upper arm. But you look and say, why is he looks so small and this one big? Not about his age. Okay, let's even leave David and take Mr. Sajiri and Flex. If Flex begins to go to the gym and then we want to do Mr. SGA, he comes back and he looks unbelievable. Okay? What has happened to him? Those muscles on his arms, he has trained them, and by reason of use, they've expanded. Eh? By reason of use. If you have, in the days of scarcity, there's nothing new. In fact, there's nothing new under the sun. I have lived to buy this fuel for 33 kobo. I was alive when they were buying 33 kobo. And when they brought it to 11 naira, I can remember. That's when jerrycans became something of importance. And then we buy jerrycan 50 liters and then put it under the tree, away from the sun. So, you know, it's 50 liters. Tomorrow, after 2 months, when you send somebody, you go and buy 50 liters, and it will come back, the cake will not be as full as the first time you used it. Then you say, guy, this guy didn't buy 50 liters, so he's using scope. He's not using scope. Oh. It's because the keg has expanded, because it's plastic. 2 months down the line, you send the same guy to buy, he won't reach the same level. So, no. This guy is cheating me. I'll go to buy myself. When you now go and buy, the level where the thing normally, he will not reach there, because it's expanding. By the reason of use, your capacity increases. Eh? The only person that tell you to calm down, that can tell you to calm down, and you calm down, is God. Hebrews chapter 5. I'm saying this thing is not word of mouth. It's not for everybody to say that God is my source. It's not for everybody. The person that does not know God cannot say it. Even if he says it, he does not know how to use it. It's lip service. Oh God. Oh, yeah, now. You didn't hear that one again. Yeah, that means you didn't hear now. Did I not say the verse? I didn't say the verse. Hebrews 5, verse 12. Because all of you said no. I didn't want to take Mr. Sajiri at first because his own question paper is always. That's why I said, because everybody now said no. I now know that all of you have the same question paper. Hebrews 5, verse 12 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." Can you hear very well? Huh? Can you hear? Just for you. Can you hear? Verse 13. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Please go back to verse 13. It says that for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Okay? And then verse 14 says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Amen. That tells me that if you do not have your senses exercised, you cannot discern good and evil. Okay? Now, I wish Steve was here. Steve would have been a good example. You know, he's a boxer. And when we were building here, he was carrying 2 bags of cement at once. Abi? Yeah, he was carrying 2 bags. That me and somebody were sharing 1 bag to carry. We were carrying like this. He was like, put this one. He just threw into the room. We were sitting there. He had dropped 2, then he had gone back for another 2. Eh? By reason of use, they have their senses, what? Exercised. That's just an example. So the man that has his constant use that make him able to absorb that pressure, it's not that the pressure is not there, but his senses have been able to manage that kind of situation. So, if you want to be able to stand and say, my God will supply all my needs, it's not word of mouth. Verse 13 tells you that if you're a babe, you're feeding on milk. Eh? Partakes, if for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. You have to move from the level of unskilled to skill. And it happens only when you exercise your senses, your spiritual senses. You cannot wake up this morning and say all things are yours, whereas you do not know the foundation or the man that says all things are yours. Amen. That's why some people get disappointed and say the word is not working. But you say, read your Bible, pray every day. You know, kindergarten used to help us a lot, but we never taught in that line. Because when you go to, those are the same songs you sing, even if it's not Sunday school. In school, when we were growing up, they would teach you all those songs. Romans 15, verse 4. That's what my... It says, for whatever things were written before, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. For whatever things were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Interesting. You know the interesting part? That this scripture has 2 characteristics. Patience and comfort. What is the scripture? God's word. So, the Bible, the scripture. So, it says, the scriptures, that we through the patience and comfort of God's word might have hope. That means that when you are working with the scriptures, then you have to learn that you have to learn patience, and then you have to learn there's comfort. So, some people will not say, that's how they always try to psych themselves. Don't listen to them. Because this is what the word of God says. That there is comfort attached to the scriptures. Comfort of your spirit man. And there's patience attached to it as well. That's why I love Habakkuk 2 too. Though it tarry, wait for it. It will not tarry. It will come. Because there is a place for patience in God's word. And there's a place for comfort in God's word. Amen. When people, James chapter 1. Verses 2 to 4. So, he Hebrews has told us that Romans 15:4 has told us that patience and comfort embedded in the scriptures. Hebrews, did I not see this one now? No. James 1:2-4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Hallelujah. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. Doing what? Lacking nothing. If my God supplies all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus, right? He doesn't do so because he's just a good God. He needs you and I to cooperate. The Bible says here, go to verse 3, that because it's Remy and Mr. Sajira and Remy are in the same class now. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. If your faith is not tested, you cannot have patience. You think I'm right or I'm wrong? If your faith is not tested, you cannot have patience. I'll go to the next one. He said, but that patience that comes from the testing of your faith. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. So this one, keep it to, when I say go back to James, remember this please. Then let's go to Habakkuk. You have moved out of his class. You're in a class of your own. He says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that it may run who reads it. Next verse. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. There are two tarries here. Tarry number one, though it tarries. Can I have this in amplified? So it says the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the end as fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come and it will not be behind on its appointed day. That one in New King James Version says, though it tarries, wait for it, it will not tarry. Abi? So this Amplified Version says, though it tarry, so we know that this tarry one is tarry, Abi? We'll wait for it earnestly, because it will surely come. It will not be behind on its appointed day. Hallelujah. So what is he trying to tell you invariably? Please go back to NKJV. I'm tired. What is he trying to tell you invariably? There is, for this vision and the end, appointed end, there is a waiting period. Huh? And that waiting period is what we read in, what will happen in that waiting period in the book of James, is the testing of your faith that is going to happen between the vision and the last tarry. When your faith is being tested, you are going to be patient and know that this is what the word of God says. There is an appointed time for the God's word. Hallelujah. But at the end, it will speak. Between the beginning and the end, there is a waiting period. And in that waiting period, please give me James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 again. 3. It says, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. If you get to the appointed time. Go back to Habakkuk. Thank you. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. So if he says, I supply all your needs. Okay? If he says, do not worry. And if he gives you a promise in your closet, there's an appointed time for it. At the end, it will not lie. That means those things that he has told you will be as it is. Okay? But your faith journey from the beginning to the end is what is important. It says that, go back to James chapter 4, 1 verse 4. It says, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Because when you walk in patience, okay, the end that God intended for you to see, you will see. And because the end he intended is an end of endless abundance, he says you will end up complete, perfect, lacking nothing. But if you cannot walk in faith, and if you don't allow your faith to produce patience, then this appointed end that everybody so readily quotes, that though it tarry, I wait for it, it will not tarry. Let me tell you something. When I left school, I think I was serving. So I wanted to belong among the boys. I wanted to buy a car. But I didn't have money. So at that time I wanted to buy a car. And suddenly a very close family relative came and said, I want to sell this my car. I said, God knows, God saw my heart that I want to buy a car. So he has made this family member want to sell his car. So I went to the family. I said, okay. So what I said, so the guy said, no. It's 180,000. You must bring money now. So what's this one now? Must bring money now. Okay. I said, okay, no problem. And I was so pained that, and it's an opportunity. It was my desire. That was 2002, if I'm right. So, and then another opportunity came. That one was even 60,000. I didn't even have. But I so desired it. So you can see 2002. Then when I wanted to get married, as we were planning, you know, I was looking for money to buy suits, buy tie. By the way, it's not necessary for you to buy all those things to go and marry you. You only need your heart and the person's heart and God to go and marry. Don't be deceived. All these flamboyants, don't be deceived, though. All the men, just note that one. I've not recovered. This is 2006. I've not recovered, though. So when it was December 2005, as I was looking for money to buy this, then my wife came and said, there's this cow they want to sell. I said, I have not finished preparation for the wedding in January. Madam says there's car to buy. See, my desire is 2002. I said, okay, no problem. So he said, I should come and see, blah, blah, blah. So I went to see. I went to see with half heart. I saw. And I chose not to like it. You know when you are supposed to like something? Because I had two experiences. And I chose not to like it. So when I saw she now, I think she was in Ibadan, then I was in Lagos. She now called me. Have you gone to see it? I said, yes, I'm going to see it. I'll talk to you later. I was going to dodge it. I'm going to see it. I'll talk to you later. Blah, blah, blah. So that was December. Then we had the ceremony, January. Then in March, She was coming to Lagos. She called me. She was in the bathroom. I was in Lagos. She called me again and said, that car you went to see, is still there? I said, hey. This time, I was calculating how much I was supposed to be paying back. There was no money. I had things to pay. You know, when you have bills to pay, I was to rent a house and all that. Then she now brought this car matter on top of this bill. I said, okay. I said, well, what's the deal? She said, don't worry, I'll talk to the person. You know what? I didn't pay a dime. They drove the car to the house. There's an appointed time. I didn't pay a dime. They brought the car to the house. It's not that I didn't pay for the car. Don't mishear me. You didn't say, Pastor, why I didn't pay. The first ones, they were close relatives. They could tell me, carry this car. Go. Eh? I'm pay. So that they will not say that they made me rich. Hallelujah. This one that said, pay later. I don't know for Edam. When I look, so each time I look back to those that event, I always smile. I say from 2002, when I was struggling, up to 2006, it was 4 years. But that was a vision. If I truncated when she called me in December, I wouldn't have got that car in March. When your faith is being tested, it will produce patience. And that patience solely relies on God's word. Because when your faith is being tested, where will you run to? You go back to the scriptures. And we just read now that your patience, that in the scriptures you find what? Comfort and patience. So you cannot run to anybody that does not have any inclination to the scriptures for succor or help. They only tell you to go the way they have gone. Abi? Now, if we look at in this present time that we are in, we've read in Ecclesiastes 1:9 that there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new, absolutely nothing new. Some people say, that's how they be shouting, be praying, believe. It's because there's comfort in the scriptures. Huh? There's comfort. In Matthew chapter 22, I will read verse, give me from verse 37. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The next one. For this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, hang all the law and the prophets. Verse 39. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That means that in the circumstance you find yourself, what you do for yourself is what will be applicable to your neighbor when it comes with respect to you. Right? So if you come to me, like we should go out or something, and I tell you that we are going to walk, don't think I'm wicked. That's because it's me. So if you come to me now and say, Pastor, anyway, from where I stay, let's go to Antonio. I can tell you, let's walk. I won't carry my car. Don't not say, hey, it's because I now asked him. That's why he now said we should walk. That's how I am normally. Amen. When I used to work at Ojota here, I used to walk from my office. No farmad. I used to walk from my office down here. It's like 20 minutes walk. I think I used to walk twice a day or once when we were building this place. I'll walk down. I don't get to Roger Town and take a bus home. And say, I'm coming. In my head, I'm like, what's the distance between that Ojota and here? So I walk 20 minutes and I walk back. Sometimes when I tell Mr. Saji, I walk, he says, where's your car? I don't need it. I walk. Now, do to your labor as yourself. So when I tell her, okay, let's walk to my office, will it look like wickedness to her? No, he won't, because he knows that that's what I do to myself. Amen. In these conditions that we are in, people will call you, and people will come to you for help. Amen. Do unto your neighbor. Love them as you love yourself. Amen. Let me tell you why. Let's go to the story of Job. Job 42. So you say this person is difficult. It's not me. That's how your patience and your faith has had a tie. If you don't believe that God will support you, then you're not going to have patience. On the way to you actualizing that support, the appointed time, Job. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who has counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. I will question you and answer me. I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my ears see you. Therefore, I bow myself and repent in dust and ashes. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Please note, he's telling Eliphaz, and his two friends that they have not spoken of him, that's God, what is right, as his servant Job has. Okay? Now remember that Job had a problem, Abby. He lost everything, and he was ill. Abby? Oh God. All right. He says, now therefore, take for yourself 7 bulls and 7 rams, go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job. Next verse. So Eliphaz and Temanite and Bildad, the Shemite, blah, 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 did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord has accepted Job. Verse 10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. You have to learn. Romans 15:4. It says that the things that were written before were written for our learning. So in Job's condition, one, he did not stop saying the right thing about God. His heart was right before God. Hallelujah. And even when his friends came with the bulls and everything and offered and said, you should pray for them. Job did not say, can you not see my condition? He didn't say that. He didn't say, can you not see my condition? What Job did was what God expected him to do. He prayed for them. And in his meeting their need, he was restored. Hallelujah. They went with him. They had a need. He had to be the channel for them to get to God. Okay, he did not sit and be moping in his condition. He says, and the Lord restored those losses when he prayed for his friends, irrespective of his own circumstance. Huh? He didn't pray for himself. He prayed for his friends. And that's where God met his need. And he was restored. We'll be saying there's a lifting up. Abby? You'll be meeting needs. As I'm saying, there's a lifting up. That's when you can see God's abundance. Amen. The Bible says there's one that withholds more than necessary. This is not the time to withhold more than necessary. Amen.
This is time to dig deep into the Word of God, into the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, and feed the people.
Hallelujah. We take every lesson from Christ. Matthew. Matthew chapter 14. I read from verse 13. It says, when Jesus heard it, he departed from When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Christ was going to rest. Okay? Once they saw that he was moving away, they ran after him. And then the Bible says that when Jesus, go to verse 13. It says, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. So he was going to be by himself. Let me just be there. Let me gather. And then he says that, but when the multitude heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. Next verse. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. The next verse. It says, when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, bring them here to me. Then he commanded multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave loaves to his disciples. And the disciples gave loaves to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. While he went, sent away the multitudes. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now evening came, he was alone there. Amen. Hallelujah. The disciples says, we have nothing. But then they could find something within nothing. Hallelujah. He said, we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Christ said, bring them. Don't say, what's wrong with this, Pastor Mwai? In all these things that you are talking about, if you will find your miracle, it will be out of nothing that you think you have, that it will bring out something. Amen. You know, I can complain that I am. What can I complain about? I can complain that I don't have a new shoe. Right? Somebody will complain that he doesn't have a second-hand shoe. And somebody can complain that he doesn't have a shoe at all. Hallelujah. But do you know that to each person, there are 3 categories. Oh, the person that wants a new shoe, the person that says, I want a second-hand shoe, and the person that does not have a shoe at all. To each person at all, they are in their space of nothing. Do you get me? For this person is nothing. For this person is nothing. For this person is nothing. But this new one to this person is something. This second one to this person is something. Hallelujah. Don't despise what you have in your hands. Don't say there is nothing. So therefore, the scriptures have to hold on. In that nothing, your patience and your comfort lies in the scriptures. The scripture cannot hold on because you cannot hold on. Because there's an appointed time for everything. And if you have to hold on and understand that there's comfort in the scriptures, you have to exercise your senses. by reason of use. This will be trying times. They are only trying. It's not consuming. I sat with one lady yesterday. By the way, in this hell of a convalescent era, I've attended more parties. We are just wonderful people, Abby. I've attended more parties that I've done from the beginning of the to this. I'm going to another party this afternoon. We have just calculated now that half tank is even more expensive than full tank then. But we are going to go to party this afternoon. And I'm not going to be the only one there. There are going to be plenty of people there. What I'm telling you is that in the things that you think you don't have, that's where God is going to meet you. You have to exercise your senses and you have to exercise your faith. But you cannot do it outside of the scriptures. He says, when he talked about, I think that's James, Abby. Is it James? Yes. No, go back. Yeah, but let patience have perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This lacking nothing comes out of God's word. Because he will get you, he says, it will speak, and in the end, it will not lie. And all that, he says, the thoughts I have towards you are of good and of evil, to bring it to an expected end. Hallelujah. And I don't think anybody ever expects an end that is bad. So if God says his thoughts are of good, the expected end should be good. Hallelujah. So even out of your nothing, you are extending a hand of help. It doesn't mean that you are going to sink. Hallelujah. It just will open greater doors for you. It just will be able to help you step into God's promises. Look, Christ was going to rest. He needed all the rest. He says he was moved with compassion for the multitudes. And then his disciples says, okay, you have done well. You have healed them. Let them go. He says, no, they are weak. They are hungry. Let them go. Let them go and find something to eat. He said, you will give them something to eat. Galatians 6, verse 9. It says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's rise on our feet this morning. You have to exercise your senses by reason of use. If you don't use it, your senses will not get to that level of maturity. Hallelujah. If you say you have faith, if your faith is not tested, it won't produce patience. And when there are trying times, there are not times that should consume. There are times that your faith should produce patience. And in that patience, he says you will lack nothing. Let's just thank God and give him praise. Thank him because indeed, as we follow the scriptures, we enjoy the comfort that is in the scriptures. Lord, we give you all the praise. And we give you all the glory. Thank you for your word. Thank you because the word for now, and everyone can run with this word. Thank you that there's an appointed time for each one, and for each vision that you are giving. And we are patient enough to walk in faith so that we see it and we lack nothing at the end. Lord, we give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.